Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers. Nathan's doing something.
I forgot where the comics app on my phone is. There it is.
How could you forget? That should be the only app you use on your phone. It's not no one's calling you.
Well, it's not on my homepage because I can't use Comixology anymore. So in protest, I don't put it anywhere on my homepage. I don't know why. That's just what I do. But I found it. We're good. We can read some comics today.
All right.
That's what we do. We read them to you.
Yeah, read them live. If you're new. I read them and then tell you if I like it or not.
Yeah.
You watch me read it.
No, I just read it to you.
You see all the page turns and everything.
Yep.
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is The Toxic Avenger. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Any news today, Nathan?
Yeah, I got some news. Did you like Batman Beyond the show as a kid?
Yeah.
Did you like the Static Shock show as a kid?
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a comic series where they cross over. It's going to be Batman and Static Beyond.
Oh, dude. There's like an episode of
Static?
Batman Beyond where Static was there and he's like old and he had like long dreads. And it was awesome.
I think that's what this is. It's old Static with long dreads.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's sick.
So that's going to be launching November 12th. Written by Evan Narcisse, who did Rise of the Black Panther, with art by Nicholas Draper Ivy, who did Static Shadows of Dakota. Which is pretty cool idea.
I
didn't realize that they had that episode, or I don't really remember it, I don't think. So yeah, that's probably what this is based off of.
It was like old Static and then two other old characters. I can't remember.
That's cool. I'll have to give that show a rewatch.
Or I think that's what it was. I just remember like Green Lantern is like talking to Static.
Whoa.
And recognizing that he's old. Was this fucking, I don't know what I'm thinking of, but anyway. Nathan, Miss Truesdale.
Coming back.
It's December. Yep. Mike Mignola, Jesse Lonergan.
Two great comic book makers.
Should read that first one. I have the first issue of the first run. And
it's just different. And I don't really know what's going on. Because it's like,
it's Hellboy Universe stuff.
It's Hellboy Universe, but nothing I've ever really experienced before.
Deep cut stuff.
Yeah, deep cut stuff. Jesse Lonergan obviously crushes it.
I'd love to talk to someone who's just like up to date on Hellboy.
Knows everything Hellboy.
Yeah, Hellboy ball.
That'd be fascinating. Is there more Hellboy than Spawn
comics? No.
No?
Okay. There's like 300 issues of Spawn.
How much is there of Hellboy? It seems, with all like the spinoffs and stuff,
maybe 100, I would think.
If you include BRPD and shit too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe Google now.
How much Hellboy? Just ask it that.
They have over 90 trade paperbacks, apparently.
Of Hellboy?
Yeah.
So, times 5? Was that 450?
No, sometimes those have 3.
Oh, really? Even if it was times...
Hellboy Wiki. Yeah. This is what AI is supposed to be good for, you know?
No. I would not trust an AI to figure this shit out. I barely trust people to figure this shit out.
Yeah. There's a list. What's the fucking total, dude? I don't think we're going to be able to figure this out.
Okay, that's fine.
Not like on the fly.
But I think it's closer than you might think. I guess there's a lot of Spawn spinoffs, too.
Like, I guess if there is...
There's more main Spawn than there is more main Hellboy.
Right, because there's like King Spawn and...
Yeah.
Fucking Gunslinger Spawn.
Yeah, but more mainline Spawn, just like...
In the Scorched and stuff like that.
Yeah, big Spawn nerd over here.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I just know what John Layman writes.
Oh, true.
Okay. So that's cool. We got a first look at the new season of One Piece, the show on Netflix.
Cool. The live action?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they tease that season 3 is like coming soon already.
That's
so
cool. They're going to catch up with the anime.
Yeah, dude. One season every 3 years.
One season every 3 years. They're going to have 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, they're tailing them.
Yeah.
Nathan, what do you got?
Did you watch that show?
I watched 2 episodes.
Nice. Very cool. They know Marvel's going to release the 1776 book where Captain America, Spider-Man, and more travel back to the American Revolution in 1776. They're going to meet George Washington.
Finally.
And they're like, you got slaves? I don't know if that's chill.
Well, bro.
And it's going to be Captain America going back and be like, you know, Captain America looks like me. Or will look like not white pretty soon.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? This seems weird. It's going to be written by J. Michael Straczynski and has artwork by Ron Lim and Sean Damian Hill.
5-issue mini coming this November.
Yeah.
This is random.
This is so weird. But I don't know, whatever. Seems like a weird time in America to go back to. Yeah. I guess this is the beginning, but
maybe there'll be an agenda and they'll talk about what America is all about and what the forefathers really wanted and stuff.
He's going to be like, you're going to be kicking yourself in here about our two-party system.
Yeah.
That we got going on. Yeah, we'll see what that's like.
Just wondering, how do you feel about a president going for a third term?
Just to double check. Yeah. How are we feeling?
Ultimate Hawkeye, Nathan.
Written, is that a thing?
Yep. Coming September 24th. Written by Taboo, B. Earl, and Dennis Camp. Taboo is a guy from...
I don't know.
Black Eyed Peas.
What?
Yeah.
Another famous person writing a comic?
No, he's been writing stuff.
But he's from the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah.
What else has he done?
He's just in Spider-Man. And
writing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Whoa.
What do you think I meant by did Spider-Man?
I don't know.
He's done like some stuff.
Maybe he'd like to draw. I don't know.
He's done like some random stuff here and there. I'm trying to think of
what it. What does he do in the Black Eyed Peas? Does he sing?
Sing, yeah.
He does?
Or raps? I don't know.
What's a famous Taboo rap?
You got me. I don't know. he's more like...
You don't know Black Eyed Peas ball?
He's there for show, okay?
Okay. That's weird. I mean, good for him.
Yep.
His career's on the up.
So I think it's like going to have like some Ronin stuff in there.
Nice.
Which would be cool.
That'd be sweet. That's fun because there's going to be an absolute Green Lantern pretty soon. It's not like hot news, but it's the thing that's happening.
Green Arrow?
Or yeah, absolute Green Arrow.
So yeah.
What did I say? Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there's going to be an absolute Green Arrow. Seems fun.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
He seems very normal.
Like not rich or?
Like not super huge and buff and has all these things going for him, you know?
No, I need him to have like a 500-pound bow.
Yeah.
He needs
that
to look like,
that would be awesome.
He needs to look like a fucking... Like a Viking, you know?
That would be sweet.
But anyway. Yeah,
probably too late to change it now.
Nathan.
What?
Future Eisner Award-winning book incoming.
Okay.
From Mariko Tamaki.
Sweet.
It's called This Place Kills Me.
Nice.
It's a OGN coming from Abrams Books.
Nice.
It's going to be a mystery.
Mm.
Art by Nicole Go.
G-O-U-X. Oh, fancy. Probably Go.
Go. Goo. Anyway.
What makes you think it's going to be an Eisner nom?
Mariko Tamaki's got like four Eisners for like four different books. And then she's always nominated for like best writer whenever she has a book.
She has been on a run.
So.
Maybe we're missing something. Maybe we got to read more Tamaki.
Because we've read like zero Tamaki. So you remember that book Roaming she won for like last year? So the artist on that is like her cousin.
Wow.
Yeah, who like I don't think has ever done comics before.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
First comic being Eisner nom.
What else you got?
That's all I got. Not a whole lot that I saw happen.
Disney and Webtoon have a new partnership.
Oh.
They'll have a bunch of Marvel and Star Wars stuff on Webtoons.
Nice.
And then they're going to be introducing like Infinite Scroller stuff on there.
Are you going to watch this? Or are you going to read the Star Wars stuff?
If it's like maybe like curated, like old stuff, you know, where it's like, hey, this is the good stuff. We're just going to put it on here, you know?
Oh, like stuff that's already existing.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just like,
it'll probably be new stuff.
Just the Disney stuff, not like anything legacy or anything. So probably nothing.
Hmm.
And what book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read The Toxic Avenger, Volume 1 from Ahoy Comics. Because it's been a couple different places. It was originally a Marvel Comics character, I think. Or I had him run at Marvel. I'm not sure about the history. I should have looked it up.
Whoa. Yeah, that's like saying Godzilla is a Marvel character.
Yeah. But created by Matt Boers. Written by Matt Boers with art by Fred Harper, color by Lee Lufridge, and Rob Steen on letters. So yeah, it did have a Marvel run. Probably this is a movie first?
Yes.
Okay. And then it had a run of comics that seemed to be pretty expansive-ish.
Yep.
Because there was like,
as far as I can tell,
Toxic Avenger. There's like a run of that. And then there was like Toxic Crusaders, I think. And then like other things. I just randomly like was looking into this.
Yeah. So there was like 11 issues of the Toxic Avenger at Marvel.
Okay.
Not collected. It's currently with Legendary Comics. Because Legendary, or wait, there's like a, I think an adaptation of like the new movie that's under Legendary Comics because they bought the rights to make the movie.
Okay. But Legendary doesn't make comics really, right? They normally partner with a...
Yeah, yeah.
So is it like a Dark Horse thing?
It just says Legendary Comics, so maybe right. Maybe it's just for like the movie adaptation.
Could be.
So, yeah, Ahoy has the current one because there's Toxic Avenger comics.
Yeah.
And there's Toxic Avenger pinup special and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a few things right now. So yeah, the OG Marvel one came out in 91. The movie came out in like 94. So it's based off of like the movies. And there was like five of them bitches.
When did the movie come out?
1984.
Oh, 84.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What'd you think I said?
I thought you said the comic came out in 91 and then the movie came out in 94.
Incorrect.
And I'm like, that's not how that works. So this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch a movie probably. It seems like it's hard to watch, like to go find. I don't think it's going to have like a full big release.
Oh, like the new one?
Yeah, at the movie theater. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it'll be like limited-ish.
Yeah.
But
it's cool that it's Peter
so Dinklage. Like some of the bigger theaters will have these smaller movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like some movies that had like come out like on Netflix, but will have like a limited release. It'll be at like Scottsdale and then like Tempe, you know?
Got it.
So I imagine it'd be something like that. I can't imagine it'd be in every theater, you know? But I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Like I am kind of interested.
Yeah, it's cool that it's Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the new Dexter season. Did you see that? Peter Dinklage?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like started that and there's already been some surprises.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it'll also have Elijah Wood and Kevin Bacon.
In Toxic Avenger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah, it is pretty serious, it seems like. Those are three actors that I'm familiar with.
So I watched the old movie.
Okay.
1984. It was free on Tubi, if you're interested.
Hashtag ad, I guess.
Yeah, dude. So the comic is like nothing but like an improvement from like the movie. Okay. Not like talking shit about the movie. There is like things to like about the movie, but like I feel like this book is kind of what they would have done if like they had just unlimited budget kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the OG movie is like a B movie where it's like really small budget, you know.
Because the appeal is just like, wow, look at this gross monster. It's almost
it's very gory.
Oh, okay.
And then it's kind of marketed as like a horror comedy kind of thing.
Got it.
But
cool. Yeah, this feels like a 90s character.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a 90s comics character, and the way that it's drawn, I think, is
this design is so kick ass.
It's so good.
Compared to like, I don't know if you saw the old prosthetics and stuff.
I didn't even know
it looks terrible before. Compared to this. Because I read like a couple issues of this, then I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck, I can't wait to get back to the book, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like it's just like
I like how
it's whatever you want it to be, you know. Yeah,
I like how his face looks, you know, it's like it's just interesting to look at, like his character design in general.
Yeah.
He's got like this tutu on the whole time, which is kind of funny, and then he's like super buff.
Yeah, he's got the tutu in the movie, but it's kind of like the waist almost like burns him, so it's kind of charred the whole way. So it's not as like campy looking.
Got it.
So this is nice and vibrant.
Yeah,
you know,
it's cool. I like that.
So yeah, the design I think is much better, and then just the sci-fi elements that are in this ad makes it really fun.
Yeah, and this artist is like pretty detailed. So when you get a close up on the on Melvin's face, what do they call him in the movie? Just Melvin?
Or? Melvin at first, and then
Toxie?
They end up calling him Toxie.
Okay, yeah. Like so when he gets like super detailed, and with this weird body horror thing. It's really cool. So I like that.
It feels like him as an artist.
This feels like a monster, like 90s book, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works well, but then it has like comedy elements, so it's kind of interesting.
My only thing is like that his mom and like his crush, they look like the same age.
They do.
And they both wear glasses.
The design of the crush is weird because she's got like some weird 80s hair.
She's got like the...
She has tall hair, I guess.
Like Marge Simpson hair in a way. But like if it was like practical, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. But they do look the same age, I guess. But anyway, let's get into it. So the first issue, it tells the story of the first 4 days of quarantine, but it's like told backwards. So it starts with day 4. But basically, throughout the issue, there's a toxic waste spill that floods the town of Tromaville, which turns some people into toxic mutants, like Melvin, who's our scrawny main character, who gets mutated into like this big, strong,
buff, handsome,
deformed guy, I guess. Yeah. And the whole event is being covered up in the media by the mayor and a biohazard solutions company rep named Lydia, who quarantines the town and starts gathering up mutants. Melvin breaks himself and another mutant named Pluto out of the hospital to go home. And that's pretty much that first issue. And I kind of like how this is structured. Like, mm-hmm. None of the other issues are like that, but it starts with, like, quarantine day 4 and counts down to 3, 2, and 1. But I think it helps you just, like, give you Toxie, like, some FaceTime with Toxie first and, like, how big he is, how weird he is. And then you kind of like piece together what happened in the story in like a not very confusing way.
Yeah, like the hook opening kind of thing.
So I think that's cool. I'm glad that the whole book wasn't like that because I'd have been like, okay, fuck. Like, okay. Like,
but they do jump around the days.
They do. They jump around between like the past and like present, like post-quarantine. But it's cool.
I like that you just kind of dropped right into it, you know?
Yeah.
Like we didn't see like the spill or anything. Like it's like...
You see it at the end of this issue, but...
Right, but, like, they're just... You're just in it in, like, the most, like... There's no, like, build-up. It's just kind of... I feel like we're in it, like, in the middle of it.
Yeah, because if it went linearly, it would just be, like, Melvin, who's, like, this kid that wears a tutu, and he just gets bullied a bunch, and that would be, like, a lot of the first part of the issue until he gets toxic spill on him. But, I like how it's told here.
Maybe I think people picking this up probably know the origin plenty... To where like they're almost like doing like a Batman kind of thing where like you get it, we'll show it later, I guess. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. They're about as famous of characters, so.
Right.
So that people know.
You like one or the other.
Yeah, pretty much. Are you a Batman guy or a Toxic Avengers guy?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this, we see other mutants in here, like Pluto, and he looks like a little bit more fucked up because he's got like spikes coming out of him and stuff. But I just like the designs of them in general. I think they're fun.
Yeah, very gross. This one, I think this leans in like the body horror a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just because like of how deformed people get and then just kind of the texture of the skin and stuff like that.
Yeah. I almost like how casual it is sometimes too.
Yeah.
Because there are moments where it's like, wow, that looks gross. Or like there's some close-ups of Toxie just kind of looking at himself in the mirror.
He's still the same guy on the inside.
Yeah, he is. And so, and then like at other times he's like leaving the hospital and he's like, Mom, I'm going to bring this guy Pluto with us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun.
The artist is pretty good at faces.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to differentiate who's who, you know, and like pretty consistent.
Good character design.
I don't really know who I'd like compare the art to, but it does remind me of somebody.
Yeah, I was going to say it does feel familiar to just other artists that I've seen, but yeah.
There's like some cleanup company that's like taking the mutants.
Biohazard Solutions.
Yeah, did you mention that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's funny because in this book, they abbreviate them to BS. So like anything that they're doing is BS.
Yeah.
And I like that. Took me a second to figure out what that meant.
I didn't notice until like the last issue where there's like they're driving a truck that says BS on the hood.
Yeah. And you're like, oh. But issue 2. So we find out that the mutant Pluto used to be someone that bullied Melvin. But now that they're both mutated, you know, they're just kind of bonding over that, I guess. Lydia pitches using Melvin as a mascot for Biohazard Solutions, but Melvin denies. Pluto goes a little bit crazy. He drinks some more barrels of toxic waste, causing him to grow super huge, and goes on a bit of a rampage. He kills the mayor by just throwing him.
throws him in a truck.
He throws him in a truck. I'm like, damn, was that the bear he just threw? And then the military is like sent to shoot him down, but Melvin takes him down when he crawls inside of him and bites his heart to kill Pluto. And I'm trying to figure out like how Melvin got into the body, because it seems like he's going through some orifice, but it didn't look like his asshole that he went through.
No, it looks like, I assume it was something in like his ankle, like some sort of hole or something.
Yeah, some crater in his body for some reason. But yeah, I saw him crawl up a hole and I'm like,
it was cool that,
did you just go up there?
That Pluto got like all big like this, like in the second issue.
Yeah.
You know, this could have easily been like the last issue.
Yeah, it could have been him like slowly going crazy and then stuff. But it's funny that when you drink more toxic waste, you just get more like effect and turn into kaiju pretty much.
Yeah, he's like drinking. He's like, I'm bulking. How do I look?
Yeah. He looks gross too. Like there's more.
It gets worse. Yeah.
There's more like tendrils and stuff coming off of him. You see, I think you see his dick.
Do you?
Yeah, there's a this panel. Like, that can't be anything other than his hog.
Hold on now.
I think it's on page 40. But then they do a really good job hiding it the rest of the time, so...
Huh. It's weird, because, like...
The big stepping one.
There are some, like... Some spots where, like, you could see his dick, you know, but...
Yeah, if it was there and it was out, but... I don't know, certain angles, I guess.
Hmm. Anyway.
It's interesting how detailed the mutants are, and then like compared to just people on the street and stuff like that. Like, I know you wouldn't put a whole lot of detail into people's faces, but it's kind of cool seeing like him right about to eat the mayor or something, and how differently they're detailed.
You can kind of draw them differently each panel, honestly. Like, it doesn't have to be like exact.
Yeah.
You know, because like no one's really keeping track of that.
Yeah, but I just think it's cool because, like, if it's just people talking, it's like, oh, this is, like, normal comic book art. And then when you get a close-up on them, it's, like, super detailed and gross, and you can see different wrinkles and stuff that are kind of weird.
Assuming this is, like, the same universe as, like, the movies, like, you shouldn't, like, feel bad about the mayor dying because he's a pretty shitty person and is, like, very corrupt in his reason why, like, there's all this, like, toxic dumping and stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a terrible person. Yeah, I mean, he is kind of like helping to cover up the whole situation about the toxic waste spill, but
yeah
he gets fucked up. He gets like spiked into like this truck,
and it like bends the truck.
It's awesome. I'm like, damn, he fucked that guy up.
It's like glowing, you know, as if it's like energy or something.
Yeah.
But like if it was just like blood, it would have been like a mess.
He put some heat behind that for sure.
Yeah, dude.
Biting his heart to kill him is kind of crazy. Because he just, like, kind of climbs up. He bear hugs the heart, and then he just bites into it.
He just gets, like, bigger and bigger, and I guess the only way to, like, drain him or whatever is just to slowly internally bleed.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's cool that, like, not only other people got infected, but also, like, his, like, main bully got infected, you know?
Mainly his bullies get infected.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it makes sense, because they were trying to prank him in the first issue, and then they chased him into like the woods, and that's where it started. So I think that's why.
Yeah.
But like his bullies are like trying to be live streamers, I think. That was an element of this at some point.
I must have missed that.
Yeah. You see like them doing like vertical live streaming, so just kind of off their phone. Mm. And it does the thing where it's like there'll just be a bunch of comments. And it's always funny like reading those comments that are supposed to be like live stream comments.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty like pretty thought out messages, I would say. And I'm like, I don't think people really type like that in most live streams I've seen. Anyway.
There is this building, and it has a sign that says, ahoy, like you mean it.
Oh, yeah.
Maker of fine subversive shit. And I'm like, that's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. A little bit of a ahoy self-plug in there. Issue 3. In flashback, we see Melvin was bullied, and he's like turned into a viral meme by Bryce, who's one of his bullies. And in the present, Melvin is fighting off Biohazard Solution goons, I guess. But he finds out that they are actually alien bugs that are in human costumes. And so he tries to go tell people that he knows, but no one believes him. And they think that it's like toxic waste affecting his brain or something. So he rallies a bunch of people on the internet to go see the site where Pluto died and see the alien bugs themselves. And when they get there, Biohazard Solutions has already created a mutant of another Melvin bully named Bonehead. And then there's also this like military guy that knows that there's aliens too.
Yeah, he was like sent to kill Pluto, I think.
Yeah. And then when he got there, he just saw that there were alien bugs.
It was funny because like they established like all these characters in this like little crew on the helicopter.
Yeah.
And you know, they
most of them died.
And they had like personalities, you know. But then the dude just knocks over the helicopter and this guy just happened to
survive. Yeah. I did not expect this to turn into an alien comic.
That was really cool.
They just go full Men in Black with it.
Because they can do like, this is like where comics shine, because they can just do whatever they want, you know?
Yeah, and it's then insane. And like
unlimited budget kind of shit, you know?
Yeah. But like, no one really questions when a book that's like a monster book kind of just turns into an alien comic, you know, out of nowhere. It's just like, oh, okay.
I thought it was going to be pretty self-contained.
Yeah. Some of the like craziest and riskiest ideas, I guess, you could just throw into a comic.
Right.
And kind of flesh it out, which is fun.
And I don't think like the Toxic Avenger lore is like that deep to where like people will like be upset by something.
This is stupid, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's all stupid. But so
but that military dude, he like got infected too by like some waste.
Yeah. And then he turns into a like swamp thing.
Yeah, dude.
He could feel the plants.
They were like hinting at it, but that's clearly what was happening.
Yeah. You know? He's like, I could feel all the plants together, but it's interesting. Because I don't think there are other mutations that are like that. Seems like mostly people just, their skin turns deformed and they get a little bit bigger, mainly.
I mean, he was exposed to the toxins like when he was in the forest.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So maybe they just kind of merged, you know?
Yeah, it depends on situationally,
it's
I
like
guess.
We're seeing the green being created.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. This is the origin of the green. I feel like Melvin being in love with Yvonne, who's a mostly blind person, is pretty similar to like the thing. Being in love with Alicia,
yeah,
who is blind. I just think it's interesting. I wonder if that was
he falls in love with a blind person in the movie.
Oh, really?
But this person's like,
I wonder what happened. Pretty first. Close, probably the thing, right?
Yeah, because if Alicia's
I guess if she's golden a character before the 80s,
what's her name? Her last name,
Alicia.
Yeah,
I don't know,
Alicia Masters.
Oh, yeah, because she's a niece, the puppet master, I think.
Yeah, 62.
Okay, yeah, so then definitely Toxic Avengers is biting Fantastic Four shit.
There's even, like, a mutant that we see later that kind of looks like the thing.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So.
So I think that there's just some general inspiration there. But issue 4. So while Bonehead and Melvin fight, the biohazard solutions rep Lydia gets knifed in the face by Yvonne, like pretty fucking hard. I don't even really understand why. And then people start seeing the alien bugs. Melvin gets pulled out of the fight by Dylan's plants, because he's Swamp Thing now. And he gets taken into the sewer. Tromoville is put on a strict curfew. And we see Lydia's boss is also an alien bug looking to take over the Earth. So I guess the head of biohazard solutions in general is just bug people, and they sometimes hire people, because that's what Lydia is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yvonne, like, fucks up Lydia.
Is that her name? I thought it was, like, Ivana or, like, Ivanka or something.
It's spelled Y-V-O-N-N-E, but that's typically pronounced Yvonne.
Yvonne, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, something. What was the last thing you said?
When Yvonne, like, knifes her in the face... And there's like a ton of blood.
Oh, yeah. She's like, that's not alien blood.
That's not alien blood. Yeah. And then it's funny.
It looks like she like cut off her nose.
It looks like she did way more damage. But then when you see her later, it's just kind of like this small bandage on her face.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
This part of it where like Bonehead and Toxie are fighting. Mm-hmm. There's like just the body of Pluto like in the background.
I know. I'm like, they're just still at this site. It looks like it's stinking too.
Yeah. It's like.
It's got some little stink waves.
Yeah. It's like decaying or something.
Yeah, I really like this panel where it's revealed that the biohazard solutions boss is a bug, and he like rips the face off.
Yeah, very The Mask.
Yeah,
if you remember that panel.
Yeah, it is like that. That's pretty cool.
There's some girl that is like a mutant that is working with the people that can see the future.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I was that was like, a random mutant power.
Yeah, I'm like, that's fucking.
It must be a Toxic Crusader character or something. because it seems like they're kind of setting up like Toxic Crusaders, and I think Ahoy has a run of Toxic Crusaders.
Yeah, I think that's going on right now.
Is it? Okay. Yes, but because that character can see the future, which I think is a pretty good power, mm-hmm. and a pretty solid narrative device, but it's, she's never used here, so I think they're just setting up the team.
Yeah, she is used to prove like how they should go about handling Toxie and stuff like that.
In the movie?
In this.
Oh, yeah.
And then did you reveal that like the chemicals are basically just alien chemicals?
Is that what it is? Okay, because I was confused on what their goal was. I thought they were trying to make the planet more polluted so that they could survive.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Or something like that.
I mean, yeah, it's like something they're trying to act like they're cleaning up parts of the Earth.
Yeah.
Hazard solutions, but yeah, they're just making it more habitable for the aliens. Is Toxie's like signature weapon a mop?
Yeah, because in the movie, he is a janitor at the Tromaville Fitness Club.
Okay.
And so he just kind of always has that. It doesn't seem like it's used that well in the old one, but in the new one, it seems like it's like a superpowered like staff or something.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty funny signature weapon for somebody to have.
Yeah, it definitely stands out in his like signature to like him.
Yeah.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
He looks gross. yeah.
So they did pretty good with that. Well, I watched it without even I've never heard of Toxic Avenger before that.
Yeah.
When I watched it, I'm like, this is weird.
Definitely.
But it's cool.
Yeah.
It knows that it's weird. So it's cool.
It was like, it seems like so like surreal. You know, and that is like how the old one is, and it's just kind of, it's just so crazy to me that like how many there were back in the day, and then they're remaking this and like still keeping that kind of spirit, you know?
Yeah, and there were like multiple Toxic Avenger movies, right?
Yeah, like 5.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, and like just like, I guess this was made like 2 years ago, the new movie, but was like shelved for a little while because I guess it was like unreleasable.
Nice.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, and so I'm just like so confused by it, you know? Mm-hmm. And even if it's like terrible, I just want to watch it to see.
It probably will be, but in like a,
it's just strange,
like on the nose kind of way, I guess.
Like, I never heard about it until that trailer came out.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, is this like a thing? And yeah, how it's just been like off our radar like our entire lives, you know?
I know.
I guess we were born in a time where that it's just not in the forefront of anything.
Yeah,
it's
it
not
really like just kind of ended thing. It feels like maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now it's making a comeback.
Right.
And that movie's will probably make more than like Endgame. So it's about to be back, and we're going to be at the forefront of it.
It's going to make a clean bill.
Yeah. A clean bill. So, issue 5. So we find out the alien plans are to pollute the Earth so that they can become more habitable for aliens. Melvin and his crew smash into the Biohazard CEO alien with a school bus, and they like pin him there, and they start freeing the rest of the mutants that they had locked up. Bonehead and Melvin get into a fight, like a big final fight. Melvin catches on fire and is stabbed kind of like under the jaw, but he manages one really good uppercut that explodes Bonehead's head.
He like punches through his face.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then news gets out about how the aliens and Biohazard Solutions were polluting the town and stuff. And so it gets fixed. The town's no longer under quarantine. And Melvin now has new friends that form the Toxic Crusaders.
He had like bandages like all around his head.
Yeah.
And they like slowly take it off. Like, is he about to be handsome or something?
That would be so funny.
But no, he looks exactly the same.
No, he got like stabbed. I mean, I don't know what happened to like the top of his head, but yeah, they had it all wrapped up. But that would be funny if it was just like Melvin's head again. And then just,
but it's
the
just
rest
like
of
green.
It. Yeah.
Or somehow it's like improved and he's beautiful now.
Yeah. So, but we get a couple Toxic Crusader characters. We've got one with a bit of a big nose.
Yeah.
That one's pretty cool.
Quite the sniffer on him.
Cat lady.
Seem more like a chihuahua lady.
Yeah, chihuahua lady. You're probably right about that.
And then where's that thing, dude?
He was. Yeah, when they break him out of the truck, it's this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks like maybe No, that definitely looks like just rocks. It looks like the thing with some whitey tighties on.
And then there's like another person in there, but who knows where they went.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was pretty fun. I like seeing how, what's the name, Sergeant Dylan or whatever, how his powers work. He just kind of like mimics the movement he wants the plane to do. And I guess they're really strong because they break open a lock.
Yeah, it's like he like has to like still control them with his hands.
Yeah.
And control like what the planes are doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. And then this uppercut is like incredible.
That is the like best panel, by the way.
It's so good. And it's very, it looks like you'd see this art on like a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game.
Yeah.
Like very punk rock skater vibe.
And it's like the violence level of like Invincible or something, mm-hmm. it seems like, but it's like, so like punk rock looking.
Uh-huh. And you also get this trippy like splash page
mm-hmm.
as well. So there's like some really good like artistic efforts in this for sure. But yeah, the it ends on day 7. They cross out the quarantine and everything's all good now. Except they try and set up, I think, a sequel. Probably it'll have the Toxic Crusader thing. But the alien CEO dude is back in his human costume. He's got a suitcase full of money that is given like a senator or something. So I think the story does continue.
Yeah, there's like new like enemies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, pretty solid. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Solid Back Matter. Because we get some like Toxie character studies by the artist Fred Harper. Trying to figure out what the design's going to be like. Same thing with Yvonne. But she does have like green hair, I guess, in this. Or at least initially she was going to.
Yeah.
But he's worried about like the too much green like on the page with both of them together.
Yeah, blonde is probably the way to go.
Yeah. I think maybe you could change the haircut a little bit, but you know, who am I to say?
You know, I kind of like a unique hairstyle because then it's like consistent and you just like automatically know who's talking. You know?
That's true. And then we get some character designs for Bonehead and Dylan. So that's pretty cool. And then we get lots of variants. So some by Matt Boers, who's the writer, but I guess he was originally a cartoonist. Got some Tim Seeley stuff in here.
Do you know the first Matt Boers cover is like an homage to a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what movie that is?
Apocalypse Now.
Very good. Very good.
It's almost like lettered like that too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Tim Seeley, that's cool to see.
Yeah, we like seeing. I think he did some Toxic Avenger comics.
Maybe.
That's cool. But we got a couple fun ones here. We got
Sophie Campbell. That's crazy.
Yeah, Sophie Campbell was on this too. But I really like a lot of the Matt Boers ones. I think he's got a fun
Jay Gonzo.
Who is that? I was trying to remember.
I think he's just a cover artist. I don't know if he's done any like interior work, but he's done some signings at like Ash, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen him at a couple of cons.
Okay, cool. That's probably why I recognize the name. And then we got, I guess they made like trading cards. And there's like we see like a sculpt bust of Toxie. That's pretty cool. But some of these are pretty recent because there's a trading card that's Absolute Toxie. And it's referencing Absolute Batman.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty cool. And the description of it is, Absolute Toxie is a thing we made up to get your attention. And it worked. So, and then we get some creator biographies. So. Pretty cool. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
So in the movie, there's like a scene at a restaurant and it's called like the Mexican place.
Okay.
So I give it like a plate of tacos.
Nice.
Like three like shredded beef tacos.
I would give this one. What do they call it? A nasty patty in SpongeBob.
Oh, really?
Remember they make it? And it's not to say it's gross, but it like.
It fits.
It fits, yeah. Because in that episode, the Krabby Patty's like all pink and like, I don't know, weird and gross. And it's got like a wart on it and stuff like that. It seems like something that Toxie would like. So I'll give one of them to eat.
Nice.
But pretty good. I mean, I think it's fun. It's not like going to make me a Toxic Avenger fan, I don't think. But I am more fond of the character now, for sure.
I'll definitely look at stuff.
You know? Yeah, I'll definitely see it in the wild and be like, that's pretty cool. You know, but I've never heard of this character before this movie's coming out. So it's kind of interesting. what corners of comics there are. Yeah. And the fact that he had a run at Marvel is kind of crazy.
So far, the comic is, I think, is the best iteration of his character.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't quite like live up to the weirdness of like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of like,
kind of like a fun,
this toxic character
book.
That's like, you know, going around and being likable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely seems like the movie stuff will be kind of like weirdness is the main thing.
Yeah.
But sweet, we'll go into our next segment, which is the poll list. Polin,
shoving your backs.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What do we got coming out?
We got Fantastic Four number 2. I guess the first one was in my box, so I bought that.
Okay, nice.
I haven't read it, but
okay, nice.
I'll probably read it to see if I like it. It'd be cool to kind of be on like an ongoing Fantastic Four book.
Yeah.
For the first time ever. Green Lantern Corps number 7.
Yes, sir.
Are you still reading that? Or?
Well, I just caught up with Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they're forcing you to read Green Lantern number 7 now.
Green Lantern Corps?
Yeah, Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I think I have like the first 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah, the first 5 is like the trade, I think. And so.
Yeah. So I'm going to probably start reading that this week.
There's Superman, the Kryptonite Spectrum, number 1.
Is that the Ice Cream Man people?
Ice Cream Man team.
Oh, we got to get that.
So I'll get that. I didn't know it was coming out so soon.
Yeah, I thought that was, we still had some time for that. But
at least September, but yeah, I like.
Is it a one shot?
I like requested it. No, it's like a mini series.
Oh, cool.
So we'll see if like they held a issue for me.
Sweet.
Same with Predator Kills the Marvel Universe, number 1.
Nice. Yep.
And then I think the first issue of Valiant Beyond.
Ooh.
Bloodshot number 1 comes out. So I didn't know any of the creative team or anything. So
have a great time not reading that.
Just see like what they're going for.
Yeah. They always try and make a big comeback.
Yeah, in the time of new universes, you know?
Yeah, true.
Did you read anything?
Yeah, I caught up on Green Lantern, which is 24-25.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Nice.
And I'm like still kind of impressed at how like the effort that's being put into the art, because it's really, really cool. Echo, I think is how you say it, the artist's name. He's like the main artist on the run, but he'll sometimes have people fill in.
Yeah.
He puts a lot of effort into like mountainscapes and stuff like that. And so I'll just find myself looking at the background and be like, wow, I did a really good job at that. So I'm kind of impressed. Just
this guy watches Bob Ross.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. It looks like that. It looks like painted and like the characters are like digital almost.
It'd be funny if he just had a bunch of like Bob Ross pictures he like followed along with.
He probably did. Yeah.
And then just scanned it in.
I wouldn't be surprised because they look gorgeous. And like I find myself looking at the backgrounds being like, that's a good pink mountain.
Look at that happy little tree.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, literally. And then he's pretty good at like the digital stuff that he does as well. The lore of it's getting a little bit confusing, but I think they're about to wrap up and do something big to kind of bring everything back to status quo.
Hmm.
So that's cool. It's still funny to me that a big villain is a guy named Nathan that is just sad all the time, and that's his like superpower.
Yeah.
So
I like really connect with it.
Yeah. And then I read Absolute Wonder Woman number 10.
Nice.
Also great issue. That book rules. That was all I had time to read this week. What'd you read?
I read The Boys, like the Butcher Origin, number 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Got one more on that. And then I read Planet Death, number 1.
Nice.
I got it right there in case you're interested.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check this out.
Because I read The Zero, and I thought that was cool. That one doesn't have like the newsprint pages, which is a bit of a bummer. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking normal.
I think they were just trying to get it out to people, you know?
I don't know. I kind of liked it. I like the way it felt.
Yeah, it does feel nice. It's vintage.
I'm like, this is why I read physical books, you know? So, yeah, that was all I got to. Did you watch anything?
Yeah, I watched Groundhog Day. I'd never seen that movie before.
Like the Bill Murray book or movie?
Yeah. It's fine.
Neither have I. I haven't seen it either.
It's fine. Palm Springs Moggs, for sure.
I think this is like the first to do that.
I know it's like the first one, but there's definitely Bill Murray's like not that funny in it. I think it's just like the situation that kind of carries the movie, which is fine because it's like the first kind of do that. But it has like a nice message and stuff at the end, and it kept my interest enough to like not fall asleep, which is what I was kind of trying to do initially. Yeah. So pretty solid.
I could never do that with like a new movie, you know?
Dude, I am discovering I can't either.
It's got to be something you've seen before.
Silent movie, or not a silent movie, but like a no dialogue movie. It was Flow. I just watched the whole thing and I loved it.
Yeah. So like, wow, this is incredible. This is Oscar worthy.
Yeah, I know. So, but I watched that and I was like, I've just seen this, probably just like this concept enough to not really be interested about the ideas of it. And so whenever he's like saving a bunch of people's lives and he like knows everybody already, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I'd be more interested in like the first movie to do that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, so. I mean, it's cool seeing how the brain works, but it's funny just kind of like how it happens and then it gets resolved, but you don't really know why it's happening, you know? There's not like a weird sci-fi reason, which there doesn't need to be because you get ultimately like the growth of the character or whatever, but parts of it just feel weird because he's just like manipulating this girl that he likes into liking him, even though he's been a dick this whole time in her perspective. And then she like falls in love with him in one day from her perspective because he saved everybody. I don't know. That part would just like seem a little bit icky to me, I guess. That he's like had all this time to figure out what makes her tick and what she's like in her whole history because he keeps repeating the same day and over and over, over again and like figuring out more things about her.
It's like Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, kind of.
Where he like, he knows he gets laid like at this part, you know? Well, yeah. And so he just keeps reliving that.
But what's weird is that he doesn't get laid most of the time. And then the last, when he does get laid, that's what resets everything, I think.
Oh, sex is the answer.
Oh, I don't know if they have sex, but they wake up in the same bed. But she's clothed, so I don't know. Maybe they don't have sex, but maybe there's some love, but it's just weird.
Yeah, it's not like you pass out immediately after, you know?
Yeah, and I thought, I don't know. I just thought it was going to be a little bit different, but it was fine.
Huh.
And then I watched Alien Earth,
the show. Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's interesting.
Interesting?
It's not what I thought it was going to be, but it's interesting.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it, but not for the reasons I thought I was going to like it. You know what I mean? Okay. It's just different. There's not a lot of alien in the first episode, but they released the first two, so I assume maybe they're trying to get
nice,
you to
get hooked. That's like a good
but
way.
The atmosphere is fucking on point.
Perfect.
The special effects are
half of it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just being like a slow burn, kind of like how most alien movies are.
Yeah.
It's just, it focuses on hybrids a lot, and like the main character is like a hybrid kind of deal.
Hybrid what?
It's like a new thing that's going on. There's a, you know how there's like the main companies in Alien, there's a new one.
Weyland Yutani?
Yeah. They set this one up as like, back in the day, there were like four companies that were all fighting for like this innovative technology or whatever. And there's a new one in now, and he's making hybrids.
Okay.
And so a hybrid is like, right now, they put dying children's minds into the body of a synthetic.
Okay.
But the synthetic is fully grown and stuff. And they're just like studying them.
Uh-huh.
And the way that they like, I don't know, set up everything is really, really cool. So I'm probably going to watch this second episode tonight.
For sure.
But there's this meme that has spawned from it. And it's not like a spoiler, but it's just kind of funny out of context.
Okay.
And I'll show you and I'll send it to you. But this is like a real frame that's in the movie.
Oh, where like Sid from Ice Age is in it? Yeah.
That's a real thing that's in the movie. And I was dying at that. And then I started seeing people comment their own like fake versions of this, but in other alien movies. So there's this one with Michael Fassbender with Donkey from Shrek in the background. And like, yeah. I was genuinely laughing out loud at this because I thought it was so stupid, but kind of funny.
Yeah.
In the context of this. So.
I saw like a clickbait thing where it's like Ice Age is in the alien universe.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Ice Age is canon. So, but like the reason that was a thing is because since the hybrid's still like a child, she still watches like movies.
Yeah.
And like, you know, so.
So it's like in an adult body.
Yeah, in an adult body. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So pretty good so far, in my opinion. I'm excited to see where it goes because I think shit's going to hit the fan because special effects are really cool in this.
Yeah, that's good. Hulu has like the budget for that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, I was like a little bit worried about that, you know, not like because I need big explosions and shit like that, but yeah. Just to see it. And you do see like Xenomorph in this, but it's really not the focus.
I think Noah Hawley like gets what he wants kind of thing, you know?
Is that who's doing this?
Yeah, he's like the showrunner for like Fargo.
Oh, cool.
So this is like his current thing.
Nice. So, what'd you watch?
I just watched the Toxic Avenger movie.
Okay.
Nice. That's all I made time for. I did watch like Dexter Resurrection, which is fire, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah. If you like Dexter, you know, it's like, it's continuing from
the last sequel series.
Yeah. And they're just introducing, like, it's just like a different story than what you're used to with like Dexter. And there's like just new elements to this that I think are so interesting.
Cool.
There's like actors you don't expect to be in there, you know, and a lot of his like past comes up and stuff like that. It's just like really fucking good.
That's good.
So
was the sequel series good too? The sequel season?
Yeah.
That was also good?
Yeah, I remember liking that a lot.
It was just one season of that, right?
Correct.
Okay. So it was Dexter, I'm Back, Baby, and then Dexter Resurrections, and that's it?
Yeah. Then there's like a prequel one, but you can skip that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't finish it, so.
Cool.
So yeah, we're into that. I think it's like all out now, especially when like this episode comes out. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of catching up on that.
Sweet. Pretty cool.
Lucas was being like a dick this last weekend. So like, I was like, fucking turn this off. I like can't focus on anything. And I don't want to miss anything, you know? So, but he's good now. So
that's cool.
Toxic Avenger. Bad movie.
But they, you know, ambitious, maybe? Yeah.
Like, no, like bad movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, they killed a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And it's like rough.
Ooh.
You know? And so I was like, I don't like that. It's like a little bit of like a mean-spirited kind of movie, you know? Okay. It's like, I guess like kind of like boys-esque or whatever. It's just kind of
crass.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about crass, but there's some things I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, there's like these bullies, like Melvin's bullies, and they're like the worst people. Like, they hit people with like their car.
Oh, shit.
And like murder like a kid, you know?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
They rely on a lot of shock value, sounds like.
A little bit, yeah. There's a lot. It's a very gory movie. It like 80s gory, you know?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like, you don't feel bad for these people because Toxie ends up just hunting them down and killing them all, you know? And it's just kind of funny to see like what people thought was like a good idea back then.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of like the reviews on Letterboxd are like, oh my God, it's so bad. It's good kind of thing. But
sometimes things are just bad.
It's like, they were like intentional with like everything they're doing. It's not like they're trying to make like a good movie.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? And with like the surrealist kind of thing, it makes it seem like all the acting's bad, you know, but it's like intentionally like supposed to be like a superhero spoof kind of thing, like just the whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really cool kill scene that is in that restaurant I was telling you about where people were trying to rob this like Mexican food place for some reason.
Mm.
But anyway, he beats up one of the goons, throws him on like this table and puts like milk and ice cream and like whipped cream into the dude's mouth and then puts his mouth into one of those like Blizzard blender things.
Oh, nice.
And kills him that way. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
That's a good kill.
That was my favorite kill.
And then he flips him upside down and be like, look, it doesn't come out.
yeah, he's got the blind girlfriend,
so she's like full blind in that, because in the comic she's like mostly blind.
Yeah, that's where So, like, her seeing eye dog is the one who gets, like, killed by the people that are, like, robbing the store. Yeah.
He's just working.
I know. He's on the clock.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway. But, like, the townspeople, they like Toxie because they, like, he, like, helps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a montage where he's, like, saving, like, a dog, a cat from a tree or whatever. And nice. He helps some lady open a jar and shit like that.
That's funny.
But he's like a murderer. Like, he kills like criminals, you know?
Cool.
And but it's mostly like just his old bullies and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was okay. I would like never recommend it, but I don't know. There's just like something about it that I kind of liked, you know? Maybe just like how weird it was.
Yeah.
And so that like kind of, I don't understand why. Like, it's like a cult classic, I guess, but like, so culty that you never hear about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how it has 5 movies, Marvel Comics.
I guess all the sequels suck, comics. But this movie is like kind of the one that people like.
Oh, the sequels suck.
Yeah, the sequels like the 4 after.
Got it.
I guess there's even like a Saturday morning cartoon for Toxic Avenger.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's a strange property.
You should try and own all Toxic Avenger media.
Absolutely not. But I will watch a new one just because there's like enough there to where I'm like just interested.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think so it's valid. We'll see how that goes. And what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Do we have anything on the books?
No.
Nothing on the books.
But we got a recommendation.
Nice. Let's do it.
From Dinger.
Dinger.
And he was on a bit of a comics reading hiatus, but he came back and he read Indigo Children, which is a Image comic that came out like the last couple of years.
Right.
So
I don't know what that is.
Neither do I. I think I recognize the trade dress.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah. So we'll give that a shot.
Okay. Indigo Children. Yeah, this looks like a comic.
It definitely is a comic.
When did this come out?
24, 23.
Oh, okay. So this is what brought him back in?
I don't think so. It just is something that he read early on. Yeah, 23.
Cool.
But it is something that he commented on one of our videos to let us know to check out.
Sweet. Yeah, that's a good recommendation. I don't even know what this is.
Kurt Pyers is the writer, along with Rockwell White.
Good name.
Art by Alex Diotto, colors D. Cuniff.
D. Cundiff? Cuniff?
Cuniff. And then letter Hassan Osman Elha.
Oh, wait, I haven't heard of this shit? That's my boy.
Nathan's locked in now.
I'm locked in now. What a good recommendation.
He's invested.
Buy now with one click. Thank you very much.
All right, so cool. We'll give that a shot.
Sweet, thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a recommendation about a random book that you've never read with Hassan Otsman Elhau on it.
Good segue.
You can email us at tradewearspod@gmail.com or give us a little comment. Tell us to read a Toxic Avengers comic if you want. We'll probably ignore you.
There's a couple. Yeah. Let us know your experience with this property.
Yeah. This is my introduction to it. And then I randomly saw other things about it. And now I'll probably try and look up a YouTube video essay on him just to see.
Yeah. I think you could watch trailer for the old movie and just watch the movie.
Just get it. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I might do that just to see.
Because I watched it, I'm like, whoa, this looks weird, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. Link tree in the bio, like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And goodbye.
Bye.